Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Emerging from a lengthy two-week hiatus with little more than a hangover from all the tech news we've been ingesting, it's time to regurgitate that news like a big mama bird into bite-sized audio chunks for you to swallow whole. Joining me are three editors from Computerworld, Macworld and TechAdvisor in Scott, David and Chris. Hello, lads.
Hello.
Hello.
Let's get chatty. Scott, you completely blindsided me by changing your topic at the last moment. Thanks for that. So what is new?
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about Spotify because it's quite boring. I mean, they're doing an IPO and they're launching a voice service and that's about it. Really.
So you are actually now talking about Spotify.
Well, that's it. I'm giving the people the news.
They're demanding the Spotify news.
He's actually printed it out.
Well, what I'm actually going to talk about is the most Silicon Valley story I've come across in a long time.
Okay.
So there's a startup in the Valley which is launching a service. And the service is that you can upload your brain, so all of your memories, to the cloud. Which sounds great, doesn't it? But there's a catch.
Impossible.
Well, there's that. And then it's also going to cost you 10 grand. And you also have to die.
Yeah. When you put it like that.
I think that's a hard no.
So the company is called Nectome. And it is legit. I mean, it's a pair of MIT AI researchers, and they've been trialing this on rabbits and pigs for the last 2 years successfully.
What have they been thinking about?
I don't know. Food? Carrots?
Other pigs?
What happens to their iTunes libraries?
So now they are looking to roll this out to humans, and the sort of humans that would be interested in a service like this tend to be people that live in Silicon Valley.
How does a pig get 10 grand?
It's probably paid for by somebody else, a rich benefactor.
Probably people like Peter Thiel, right?
People like Peter Thiel, which
did he get to keep the pig's blood after it was dead?
Didn't he have like a blood? Anyway.
Yeah, he likes young people's blood.
Yeah, that's
young
right.
Young pig's blood. Blug?
Anyway,
this is going swimmingly. Okay, so it's an actual thing.
Yeah, it's an actual
thing.
Sign
up to.
Yep. So they are going to be trying to launch this for humans. They said that it's not going to be viable until 2021, and that is if it is even legal. But they say it probably is legal in states where euthanasia and the right to die with dignity is legal, because they're going to try and fold it into that.
So is it aimed at people who are dying already? Are they trying to fold euthanasia into it as a selling point?
I'm guessing so. I'm guessing you don't want to sign off on being killed unless you're ready to die.
This is such a strange conversation.
So what's for the sake of saving your memories?
Yeah, it's a real sort of techno-utopian thing, yeah. Where people like the idea of being able to upload their consciousness into a computer and sort of live forever as a machine. I think that's basically the theme of Altered Carbon, which is on Netflix at the moment.
Right. Go on, Chris.
Well, what happens to you? You're not actually alive.
No.
You're dead.
Yeah.
Your memories are stored somewhere.
Yeah.
And then what does somebody else get to do anything with them?
Is it like iTunes? Can you like pay 99p for a memory?
They haven't really gone into too much detail about what living
because
in the
there's
cloud
no business
is
model.
Like. There was an interesting tweet from Susan Fowler, the ex-Uber engineer who now works at Stripe.
Oh, yeah.
She wrote a tweet saying, "I know way too much about distributed computing systems to ever sign off on something like this, because, as she put it, what will happen is where your memories are stored, those instances will go down, and so then you'll spin up new instances and your memories will basically become very fragmented across a load of machines. So your memories will kind of float around in the digital ether and be wildly fragmented, which sounds horrible, especially if there's any sort of consciousness there, because you're basically just going to be a bunch of separate memories all sitting on different computers.
I think Chris is right, though, because even if there is a consciousness, it won't be your consciousness. It'll be a new consciousness created that's identical to yours in every way.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's just a very expensive cloud storage option
for
which you can't
human
use
memories.
You're dead.
Yeah.
And they'll probably delete it after 10 years.
Probably.
In small print.
Yeah.
They won't be able to read it anymore. It'll be in the wrong format.
Yeah. Do you want to know how it actually works?
Dot memory.
Yep, I do.
Dot mem.
So what they do, and this is, it gets a bit gory, but what they actually do is they, and they've made up a term, obviously, for this, and it's called vitrifixed for your brain.
What? How do you spell that?
V-I-T-R-I-F-I-X-E-D.
Okay, that's a literally made up word. What does it do?
Yeah, they've literally...
It sounds like a bottle of water.
It does.
Mm.
With electrolytes.
Sweet vitrifex.
So, kind of... How do they do it? So, they...
Are you reading this for the first time?
No, second
they
time.
They really haven't thought this through, have they? Do they just... They take you in a room and then they say it's done, but really they've just put you in a blender or something.
Well, they inject a load... They remove the blood from your brain and inject a load of preserving chemicals, which right. basically turns your brain into glass.
That actually sounds really cool. My brain
now
is glass.
So, and then, yeah, and they kind of upload all of your memories from there into a cloud storage instance.
Yeah, but yeah, that, how?
Yeah, is it...
It's very sci-fi, isn't
They've
it?
Yada 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 the important bit.
Yeah.
No, it's bollocks. What's the, how does it work? I don't get it.
That's how it works.
Is that PR or something?
No.
What's the actual process? How does it work?
That's literally...
That's what they say. That's all the information.
That's what they say. And they've that's what they say. And they've also made up a funky word for it. So, you know, give us your money.
Do they need funding? Why is this in the news at the moment?
So they've moved into Y Combinator, which is a famous Silicon Valley startup accelerator. Dropbox and stuff have gone through there. And they're, the founder of Y Combinator is Sam Altman, the 32-year-old Stanford dropout who has invested in many of the biggest sort of tech companies. And he has signed up for this service. So he's on the wait list. So when he's ready, he will take them up on the offer of being killed and uploading all of his memories into the cloud.
Do you necessarily have to be killed?
He's only 32, though, so I'm guessing he's not going to do it for a few years.
Can you die first, or do you, this process actually has to kill you?
So the process actually kills you.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Because it removes all the blood from your brain and replaces it with glass.
But if you had died,
could
you
three hours before,
they rush
nope.
you in.
Nope.
It's brilliant.
It literally, the process literally kills you, and that's the only way to do it.
This is not nice.
No.
No.
It doesn't sound nice.
But yeah, so
the thing is, though, this isn't actually the worst pitch I've heard for a startup.
Is it not?
It kills you, it doesn't work, and it's incredibly expensive. It's but and we've heard worse.
Yeah, and we've killed loads of rabbits and pigs trying it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's horrible, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the most worrying thing for me.
Yeah. Glass brain, dead pigs.
Mm.
Yeah.
The glass thing, I keep coming back to that. That is,
it's cool, though.
That's
isn't
metal.
It?
That really is.
It's definitely, I mean, it's definitely
no,
the
it's glass. What?
Nice. Metal in the sense as, you know, that's metal. Like having, I don't know, fire inside your eyes or whatever. You know, that is metal.
I thought you were just getting confused about materials.
I do that a lot, don't I?
Glass? No, that's metal.
I don't think I'm going to sign up for this.
So are you not in?
I'm
not you're out. Are we at the question phase already?
It has to be vitrifixed or... vitrifixed or vitrifix.
Nice.
Yeah? Because it's a
no,
fix.
But hold, before we get to the clever, the clever questions, the question for me is, this is an interesting concept if you can remove the bit about it not working and a bit about it killing you. So if you get to the point where they could just... like, is there any even potential for this same process if tweaked, if, you know, improved, iterated? Are they going to get to the point where it doesn't kill you, where they can just lift the memories out and it's just like a backup?
Well, what they've created is a process of which you basically inject the brain with these chemicals which preserve the structure of the brain and can basically take away... the memories you being and alive. Stuff from. Yeah, but also you can't replace the chemicals in your brain while staying alive. Really, so I don't think they're
fundamental to the process, though.
Yeah, I don't think the way that they're doing it will be able to be done on a living person.
Absolute madness.
I suppose this is like another example of techie nerds being influenced by sci-fi, because this is quite like verging on that Black Mirror episode where her boyfriend dies, so then she gets an android of him, and it's really weird.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Christmas one where he kind of gets locked. He's uploaded his memories into, and then he's in that lodge with John Hamm.
Oh yeah,
and then he gets trapped there.
Yeah, it's quite like that. And also, I mean, it's kind of a bit Blade Runner, isn't it? Like, they talk about, oh, it's injected memories or whatever. Like, is this influenced by that kind of thing?
I guess the key here is that they have to do it on a human before we know what the hell it looks like.
Yeah. I think they should do it on themselves. See if it works.
Yeah, one of them
should sacrifice themselves to their cause.
For their science.
If you could do it in a way that doesn't kill you, then it could be helpful. What's the disease where you basically
dementia.
Just think, if people with dementia, Alzheimer's. It could be really helpful in that kind of sense. So there's a possible nice.
And there's a broader concept of offloading what's in your brain into separate storage, then would allow your brain to work quicker and it would allow you to have more knowledge. If we could have sort of a USB stick brain
in
storage expansion, that sort of concept is a relevant one, but.
Yeah, Sam Altman's kind of pithy line about it was just, I assume that my brain will be uploaded to the cloud at some point.
Sounds like a jerk.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 32-year-old billionaire who lives in Silicon Valley. So.
I'm kind of happy with Google Photos.
Yeah? is that enough?
That is basically my
Google
memories
really
in
good.
The cloud. So. It
doesn't give you a glass brain.
No.
I'm all right with that.
But yeah, as you were saying, I mean, it does sound like it's kind of interesting research for Alzheimer's, but there is still the massive problem that it kills you.
Yeah,
they might have to get over that.
Well,
I think we've spent enough time on
we have
vitrification.
Okay, so maybe rather than asking a dumb rhyming question that I can't think of, do you think this will legitimately turn into a business, or is this going to flop?
It's going to flop. It's a great story and it's a headline, but
is it just a PR stunt?
It's not a stunt, because these guys are actual researchers, and they've actually
killed animals.
Yeah, but the idea of it actually being a viable business is absolutely ridiculous.
And there you have it. That was the glass brain section. coming up next, the glass phone section.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you don't want to die, you might want to buy a new phone.
absolute brilliant. Gold.
I've not got a lot to work with here. So today, as we record, 16th of March, Chris, the best phone of the year so far is out. It's the Galaxy S9. You've used it.
Yep.
What's it like?
Well, yeah, it is the best phone of the year so far, but that's not that hard.
Except the iPhone 10, obviously.
That wasn't last year. Well done.
Yeah.
January. Also, it is better than the iPhone 10 in some ways.
That's what I was looking for. Yeah.
Cool. So it looks quite like the S8. Yeah. So for the discerning listener, what are the differences?
Yeah, this is really... It doesn't really deserve the new number. It's more S8S or 8.5 or whatever you want to call it, because it's one of those ones where it's exactly the same design. It is like a little bit smaller. It's the same design. They've moved the fingerprint scanner... where we wanted it on the S8, so it was next to the camera, so you had to reach across the camera and smudge it with your finger to get the fingerprint scanner. Now it's below the camera, so it looks a bit neater, easier to reach. And the bezels on the front are a tiny bit smaller. You won't notice, like, unless you hold it side by side with an S8.
Yeah, it's nice to see Samsung steer well clear of what some Android manufacturers are seem to be doing and putting notches on their phones, aping the iPhone design.
Yeah. Basically, the S9 is either really great or it's really boring. Depends how you look at it. Like, they haven't gone down the route of just copying like the notch design, but if you've got an S8, it's not really that different. So
yeah, it's the thing. Like, we review phones, so like for us, the word boring crops up because it looks like the last one. Like most iPhones have done until last year. But actually, for the consumer, it's still like a ridiculously futuristic looking design. Still got a headphone jack. Yeah. Interesting that Samsung's done that.
Good for them.
I think... it's good. it's good that... It's understandable to take what was already a very, like, you know, almost perfect phone.
Yeah.
And not really do that much to it. But at the same time, then you're going to struggle to get S8 users to upgrade.
Yeah.
Because it's £739 now, which is still a lot less than the iPhone 10, but it's still a lot of money. And really, the only improvements are the camera, which isn't that much better.
It's got a variable aperture, right?
Yeah, that's the most interesting thing about the camera. It's not... Samsung's tagline is all the camera reimagined, but it's not. It's just made a bit better. But obviously that doesn't sound very good on a billboard.
The marketing person at Samsung has just such massive cojones to keep calling it reimagined when they've really just kept doing the same thing.
Yeah. It's the same phone, a little bit better. But yeah, it is really...
That's a less good tagline.
They call it a dual aperture or whatever, like, so it's
a mechanical part that changes.
If you don't know about photography, aperture is just like how large your pupil is. Like, in low light, your pupil gets bigger to let more light in. When you go out in the sun, your pupil gets smaller so that you can see properly. Yeah. Basically,
why do your pupil get smaller when you take drugs?
Don't know, because you're... brain's turning into glass.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, I thought you might be clever enough.
So the phone, the S9 and the S9 Plus is the first phone to do this. Normally it'd be a fixed aperture. So, and over the last couple of years, all they've been trying to do is get the lowest, the widest aperture possible. So that's actually a lower number. So the S7 and the S8 were 1.7.
Yeah,
and I think Huawei just beat that with the Mate 10 Pro 1.6. Now the S9 goes down to 1.5, which is like it's basically even lower than a lot of DSLRs. So like if you just went and bought one from Currys, it'd probably only go down to like 2.4 or something.
And that's supposedly to just improve low light photography.
Well, it's to get so it'll automatically change between those two apertures based on the conditions. So if you walk into a really dark nightclub or whatever and want to take a selfie, no, not a selfie, it's on the rear,
all the time.
A photo, it'll open up the aperture to 1.5,
right?
Whereas if you then walk outside and it's bright,
it'll go up again,
there's lots of lights everywhere, it'll go to 2.4. Yeah.
So that's on both models, but for unlike the S8, the S9 Plus, rather than just being larger, has got two cameras.
Yeah, so that's got the telephoto lens as well
for zoom.
Yeah.
Rather than yeah,
if you feel like you need that,
as someone that's willfully ignorant of Android phones, you said the S8 is near perfect.
Yeah,
why is that?
It's got everything in the form factor. It's thin, light. It looks nice, but all of the specs are top end. Like there's basically not really anything it doesn't have.
So kind of under that consistent pressure on phone makers to keep pushing out new stuff? Are they kind of saying, okay, we've nailed it with the S8, so we're not going to really reinvent the wheel here?
Yeah, I reckon. Basically. That's pretty accurate. if you think about it, like a variable aperture camera as your lead for like a global smartphone release is actually like quite abstract.
Yeah, I mean, that is niche, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, like Chris kind of mentioned, like it will just sell anyway. It's the default Android phone for most people in the Western world anyway. And it's most, I have conversations with people who say, do you have an iPhone or a Samsung? Like people think it's Android. So they don't really need to try.
No. No, Samsung's a hugely, hugely popular
That
phone.
Is really the big innovation in hardware, because it doesn't have a fingerprint scanner in the screen, which is what I and a lot of people thought would be the standard this year.
Yep.
Because companies like Goodix, who make these fingerprint scanners, were showing them at MWC last year. So like this time last year, they were saying they would be in phones in 2017, and that didn't happen. And there has been a couple of phones announced by, you know,
Vivo did one.
Yeah, basically unknown brands.
Unknown in the West.
Yeah.
Vivo, huge here, in China.
Here, nobody knows of these companies, but they want, obviously, Samsung to be doing that, but they're not yet. So that's a bit of a disappointment. And then the other thing about the S9 is, well, the big selling point is basically a copy of Apple's Animoji, which is called AR Emoji. And instead of, you know, moving your mouth and it being like an animal on screen, it's an emoji of you.
Yeah, I mean, this actually...
So it looks like you, an avatar. Yeah.
It looks like
a
Wii thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or more like the Microsoft one, actually.
So you take a photo of yourself, and it basically creates it based on that photo.
Exactly, so I was going to say it doesn't have the same smarts as the actual face tracking in the notch in the iPhone. Mm. It just, like Chris says, take a photo of yourself, right? And then you can't animate it live. No,
you can. Yeah.
Well, it looks rubbish.
It creates 18 GIFs of, like, your face that you can then just share, and you don't need...
But I mean, like, you know, with the Animoji, when you actually, like, move it in real time,
it can do that. Oh, okay. You can record just like you do on the iPhone, but it's rubbish.
Yeah, I mean...
the GIFs are quite cool, to be honest. Terrifying. Because then it just automatically adds them into the keyboard, so you can just use them in Facebook Messenger or wherever. Doesn't matter if they've got an S9.
I find that a bit weird.
It's just a normal GIF.
If somebody was texting me and they used a GIF of the, or, you know, of themselves or an emoji of themselves, I would just think, why...
I'm sorry to say it, David, but you're not the target audience for this feature.
Yeah, Bitmoji is pretty huge, isn't it? So it's kind of like that.
I don't know what that is. It's 38 years old.
It's the young people, David.
You make avatars of yourself and... like on the internet.
It's these millennials, they're so self-obsessed millennials.
This is not a millennial thing, this is younger than millennials.
Yeah.
What is there that's younger than millennials?
I don't know, what are fetuses? They gen something?
Gen fetus.
But yeah, the tracking, when you do want to like record a message to somebody as that emoji, the tracking is rubbish, it's just really glitchy, especially like the mouth, it just looks like you're having a fit. Yeah. And it doesn't, you just won't want
I think
to
the
use
mouth
it.
Isn't very good on Animoji as well, but more in just, the sense of being
it doesn't
relatively,
just like
it doesn't glitter, it doesn't no, just flicker, it's just relatively like, inexpressive.
Looks good on the advert though, doesn't it? It
does look great on the advert,
funny that
it's still, I mean, it's still good,
generally,
but I would say they focused on the sort of overall like eyebrows and stuff like that, the face, but the mouth is not so good.
So, apart from nicking features off Apple and putting a new camera on it, have they done anything else?
There's a purple colour.
Cool.
And the rim is now slightly different.
Does the purple colour have a funny name?
Lilac purple.
What would Apple call it?
No, Apple don't do funny names. But
Courage purple.
I can't remember. Is it them that did the Mystic Champagne?
Oh,
That's Huawei, yeah. They did greenery as well.
Greenery. And I got in trouble for mentioning greenery on the podcast. You had to cut it out because you said it was under NDA.
It was under NDA.
Greenery.
Yeah. What an exciting world we
have. The only other kind of like, you know, USP that they're pushing out with the marketing is the super slow motion.
It's mega, isn't it? Like 960.
It can do 960 frames per second, which Sony could already
do at least a year ago.
But it was very difficult to use on the Xperia phones because you'd hit record, but you can only do the 960 frames per second for like really briefly. It can't just record that for like 30 seconds. So you have to choose when that happens. And if you're trying to capture something that only happens very quickly, timing when to hit that button was very difficult. So like when Sony demoed it to us, they had a guy on a skateboard covered in glitter doing a little kickflip. So you try and capture the glitter going everywhere, but nobody could hit it at the right time to actually get the right moment.
But Samsung can just do it.
It's got automatic recognition. So there's a box on the screen which you can move where you want. And then when it detects motion in that box, it kicks in automatically. It's great. And then you can do 20 slow motion clips within one video.
Oh, cool.
Which is quite cool.
They're... The big thing with phones recently has been like AI, hasn't it? Like everyone picking up their AI. Have they added anything funky?
I hate the term AI in this case because every manufacturer is doing it. It's not artificial intelligence.
It's just a couple of smart LG phones. It's like saying machine learning. It doesn't. It's just rubbish.
It's just software features, basically.
Samsung hasn't done that. Really. It's just like, oh, please use Bixby instead of Google Assistant.
Oh yeah, the S9 has a button which you can't remap, which opens this Bixby Assistant.
But it's not new. It's the same on the S8. Yeah. They've just made Bixby a little bit better with like live translations on the camera.
But that's
you can already do that with Google. So
I think it's that particular button. I know it's getting into the weeds a little bit, but that's the least Apple thing Samsung's done for ages. Mm. Apple would never put a hardware button on its phone that you could switch on and off. Because you can disable it. So basically, if you walk around with an S8 and you don't want to be continuously accidentally opening the assistant, you just turn it off. It's just a useless button. It's very weird, but shows that they're serious about integrating it into their platform.
I would actually say that is quite Apple.
You reckon?
Because it's very controlling. Because they're saying, we want you to use our presumably inferior voice assistant rather than Google Assistant. Yeah. So they've said, well, you've got this button. That's all you can use it for. Mm. That's really Apple.
Because at first, when the S8 came out with that button, there was an app that you could download that let you remap it to do whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
And then like within a week, Samsung blocked it.
Yeah. It's weird. Because on the HTC U11, it's a squeezable phone. But you can remap that to do whatever you want. So you could have it open Google Assistant, which is the default, but you could like do it to like open a new text or something. And the Google Pixel you can squeeze, but only to open Google Assistant. So yeah, it is interesting adding hardware features like that to drive people towards features they don't want to use. Galaxy or Fallacy?
Galaxy.
Yeah, you liked it?
Yeah.
Sweet. Scott?
Fallacy, because I'm never ever going to buy a Samsung phone.
Crazy. David?
It's I don't know, I haven't tried it. It sounds really good though. I like the sound of the super slow-mo.
Yeah.
With the good. You know, the trigger thing, that sounds really clever.
Thank you. We will be right back to be grown-ups and talk about porn. In an age where our youngest and most vulnerable citizens have access to the internet through their phones and laptops, there are little national regulations to block certain content. So, David, reminding us all that the web is still pretty Wild West, the UK government is trying to introduce age checks to porn sites. But this has been delayed. Why is that?
Because they're not really sure how to do it, basically.
Okay.
it's been on the agenda for a long time. The interesting thing about this is that it derives from a manifesto pledge before the 2015 general election, which is the one before last, I suppose. Is that right? When was the last election?
Pre-snap election, you mean?
Yeah, pre-snap election, yeah. So they had this thing about we were going to protect children on the internet.
The Tories love talking about this.
It's just...
The Tories don't understand the internet.
they don't understand technology, and they love talking about protecting young people from...
It's a free gift to them, for their base. Yeah. Their base are obsessed with that sort of thing.
And it's so Theresa May.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this has been delayed in part because they were trying, and still are trying, to contract a private company to regulate this, right?
Well, I think that is part of it, but technically the delay is because the BBFC, the British Board of Film Control, who have been brought in to do the regulation side of it,
right.
And they were only just confirmed in that role in sort of February, even though it's been touted for months and months. They still need time to do a consultation. But yeah, I think part of the consultation will be who is the right person to get in to do the age verification software. And that is the sort of the heart of the issue. That's the can of worms. Is are we going to give one private company all of this information about British citizens' most intimate browsing details, and then have that in one place where it can be hacked?
Yeah, that is the honeypot of all honeypots.
It really is. It's Ashley Madison cubed. You know, it would be devastating. And given the government's record on IT projects, it's not
so bad.
It's not reassuring.
So I know this is actually possibly an impossible question to answer because they haven't selected the person, the company to do it yet. But what's the idea?
There is a front runner.
So the front runner is MindGeek, which also happens to own YouPorn, Pornhub, and RedTube.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. So I find it. Yeah,
so actually, it's completely not.
That's
in
a
their
bit
interest.
Disconcerting.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the fact that yes, in fact, all the free porn sites on the web are actually basically owned by the same company to give you the illusion of sexy choice.
there is nothing sexier than choice.
It turns me on. But the fact that they would then be considered by our government a front runner to age check. How would it work technologically?
Because that's what I want.
Usually, it's at service provider level, right? So, like, mobile providers and internet providers can either block certain content or age verify you as a service provider.
Because I thought they were gonna get the USPs.
ISPs. No, that will still be there as a safety net beyond this. But the whole principle of it, and you presumably they're trying to do this to avoid the costs being put onto the public services, is that the sites do it themselves. It's the onus is on them to provide age verification, which is why Pornhub or Pornhub's parent company are doing this, is because they need to do it themselves, and they are now presumably going to outsource it to other smaller mom and pop porn sites.
So then, but then
who don't have that technology.
good hearty family owned porn sites. would you imagine you would have to probably provide a document, right? Because it's not going to be one of those things where you'd be, I'm 16. Or
whatever. I assume it's going to be a little bit better than like booze websites where they just ask you what your age is.
Yeah, I'm 18. you'd have to like give driver's license or, you know, passport number. Details, yeah.
Presumably there will be a universal account. You'll have an account that you can then log in with and you say, yes, it's me. I have verified this somewhere else. It's now been established that is me, and now here's me now logging in. Like the iPlayer.
Is it too much to ask for the government, considering this is their idea, to find a way to basically automate this? Because they'll know how old you are. Because they have your birth
ID cards all over again.
I don't think they should have the information either. I think this is a fundamental principle.
The government know how old everyone is, though.
Yeah, but they don't know what porn you watch, though.
No, but they can age verify you in theory.
Right, yeah.
No, but if you have to then type in... I don't see how you're seeing this in a way in which they can verify your age, but then somehow not get the information about the kind of pornography you're looking at. Mm. And that... I would rather Pornhub knows what porn I'm looking at than the government.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
Because it can give
Pornhub
you recommended
already
videos.
Pornhub probably knows. And also they can... Yeah, absolutely. They can tailor their selection. But I mean, it's a fundamental problem that they don't respect privacy, and they don't need to respect privacy, because the people they're aiming this at are the home counties people who are, you know, getting into a lather over the Daily Mail saying you've got to protect the children, and they don't assume it will affect them. They think that I would never do that, but they don't realise that the exact same technologies could then be used to apply to all sorts of other things when the definition of what is obscene is expanded, which is a hugely political thing.
Didn't think I'd say this, but in fairness to the government, what is the alternative to the current problem of children looking at porn and learning about sex in a completely wrong way?
It's difficult, and it is a problem, and it's been proven in study after study that kids looking at pornography, and you know, even 16-year-olds, 15, 16-year-olds looking at pornography, it warps and shapes their view of sex into adulthood, and it's a very serious thing. But this particular solution isn't, I think, the right one.
It's just a thing. It's just a matter of like modern scale, though, isn't it? Because back in the day, there would be porn mags being passed around at school or VHSs. So it's not a new problem. It's just the problem that it's available in their pocket.
It is. Yeah. It's a difference in the scope.
Yeah. That's
it's the scale, isn't it?
When you move up to 10, and I'm, you know, trying not to deal with this in any more sort of flippant way than I should, is that when you go into technological solutions to it, then it becomes much more tailored, and it becomes much more niche, and it becomes much more extreme.
Yeah.
And the things that you would see in a magazine, because it would be intended to be enjoyed by a large population, they, it would be quite bland.
Yeah.
You know, which is a weird way of looking at it. Yeah, but compared to what they have now, it would have been pretty vanilla, pretty mainstream. And
because before, of course, I mean, it was just society just deemed that you couldn't get hold of it either. Because, right, you walk into a child walks into like a VHS porn store, they're not going to sell you anything, are they?
Yeah.
Whereas now, there's not even a cost. It's just everything's free.
Yeah, which is, and actually the pay for side of it is relevant here actually, because there is still, believe it or not, such a thing as paid for pornography that is still making money. Mainly because, having listened to that podcast, he suggested the John Ronson one.
It's very good.
Is that Pornhub's model is largely built around directing people from its free porn to the paid for porn that it also owns.
Yeah.
But the credit card companies will also be expected to punish companies that don't do the age verification correctly. So the idea is that you have to do the age verification yourself, but if you don't do it properly, then ISPs will be required to then do the blocking, and also credit card companies won't process your payments, so you won't be able to make money. But as you said, a lot of them are free anyway.
I'll tell you what they shouldn't use, that Microsoft thing that just you switch your webcam on and it tells you how old you are.
Well, I've not heard about this.
It was like a craze for like a week. Everybody was trying it.
Yeah, don't use that.
Was it not accurate?
No.
How old did it think you were?
I can't remember.
Older.
But it was just wildly inaccurate. I think
younger.
It either said you were like 80 or it said you were like 9.
That could be a problem.
Yeah.
Do you all remember what the last service you had to age verify yourself for? Because you mentioned BBC iPlayer. The last thing I had to age verify myself for was an app called Borrow My Doggy.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've yet to borrow a dog. But not weird, but obviously I don't really mind if it got hacked and everyone found out which Labrador I borrowed. But
I had to get
were they doing that?
I had to get KYC verified when I signed up for Monzo for a new bank account. Mm. And they do a little, like, you do a little selfie video.
You go, I'm Scott, I want a bank card.
And you take a picture of your... like driver's license, and then I think they use third party. There's a pretty successful British company called Onfido, which are really good at know your customer software that they just license out to third parties like Monzo. I don't actually know if Monzo use them specifically, but it's that kind of service, which is why it surprises me that someone like that isn't being sort of contracted.
Yeah, surely.
But it's just that the stakes are so much higher. There's loads of verification technologies out there. Like student verification is a huge, huge market, but nobody really cares if their information is leaked. But porn is almost a unique case in that the data is so inflammatory, so dangerous.
Why don't they just not... store the data?
What?
Why don't they just not save the data once you're age verified? That they don't, you don't need to then store all the browsing habits after that.
Yeah, couldn't it be like what Apple do, where if they wanted to unlock and read all your iMessages, they actually can't. Like the company actually can't do that.
Yeah, end-to-end encryption.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I suspect it's because of the Theresa May factor that they want to keep all the
data. No, that's, that true, is the problem, is that they want that information, and then they're kind of backdooring it through...
So to speak. The part of the...
you couldn't help yourself, could you?
It's so well done.
I couldn't help myself. Part of it is that the particular kind of pornography you look at is also relevant to this act. It's an act, isn't it? A bill until it's passed. In that certain kinds of pornography have now been essentially outlawed by the same bill. It's a really weird bill as well, in that it covers things like workers' rights at Uber and libraries doing e-books and stuff, and they put them all in the same bill with porn and stuff like that, which I think is quite indicative of how the government views technology.
Well, they're probably just trying to bury
stick it all in the same basket.
Yeah, they still view technology as this sort of, ancillary thing that exists, whereas really it controls everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Twitter, just to stick
with
the end...
This today.
Is probably going to be immune to this. They've said, we don't think we'll be able to apply this process to Twitter, that they're too big.
Yeah.
They don't have any age verification on stuff you post. They view it as sensitive, but you can look
at anything you like. But they don't allow sexually explicit imagery on Twitter anyway. I know stuff gets through, but it's not
in principle they don't, but they basically have no filter, do they?
No.
So it's another example of the big giants being too big to regulate.
Yeah.
Anyway, it'll be fine.
It's always fine, isn't it?
It's always fine.
It'll be okay. Porn or scorn?
Always porn. Definitely. Okay.
I don't know which one's the good one.
No.
I mean, hopefully this gets introduced and...
Can't people just talk to their children?
Yeah.
Can't we just have education at school and parents talking to their children and saying to them, you know, before you develop a warped sense of your sexuality, let's have an actual conversation about it and maybe I'll look at what you're looking on the internet.
Yeah.
Because we're British.
Scorn.
Scorn. Thanks for listening, and thank you, David, for only making one joke in that segment. Good work.
Proud of myself.
Thanks, everyone. That's your 40 minutes for this week. Hopefully we'll be back next week to talk about tech. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.